Welcome to Asimov's Spotlight. Here now, another story selected from the pages of Asimov's science fiction magazine.
Bidding War by Rich Larson. I'm on a concrete bench outside the library, using my phone to real-time bid on a pentatonic flute crafted from a child's femur. I should have enough, because I've been sleeping corporate for about a month now, selling my dream space to Nesco Co. for their experiment with ultraliminal advertising. There's a lot of gliding on a gondola down glossy brown rivers, and you wouldn't believe how much chocolate milk I drink now. I signed up so I could stop dreaming about Rocio, who wants nothing to do with me, but I'm making primo money on the side, too. Enough money to buy a piece of Aztec art, if Pero Andalou 42 from La Puebla, Spain, would stop fucking matching my bids. There's a chat option, so I say, "Haven't the Aztecs suffered enough at the hands of your people?" And back comes, "Me cago en tu puta madre," which my phone's Espanol to English tells me is very rude, like implying he knows my mother, and that she is a bitch, and that Pero Andalou 42 shits inside her, or else on her, it wasn't really clear. I sit there on the bench trying to think of a good response, but in the end I just up the bid, then flip windows to my favorite net show, Autocracy, which is about three survivors of climate disaster hanging around outside an automated factory that wants nothing to do with them, and is always hilariously misinterpreting their requests for tools and supplies. You know, giving them plastic fish instead of fishing twine. But in the end they always get by, and I think the autofac is starting to like them. Pero Andalou 42 matches the bid, making my phone jangle. I don't know if they believe in the chupacabra in Spain, but I say, "I hope a chupacabra eats your babies." Meanwhile, on Autocracy, turns out Muhammad was lying about his age the whole time. He's actually in his late 30s, which totally changes the dynamic of his relationship with Wendy. She's saying that the autofac should not have access to their dental records, because it's invasive, and now the autofac is scrolling pictures of her with braces all over the walls. Pero Andalou 42 says, "Que te folle una pez polla," which is apparently pretty rude also. Like, expressing the wish that a fish violates me. Except the fish is an undiscovered type of fish that is also a penis, like a dick fish, I guess. I should explain why I want a pentatonic flute crafted from a child's femur, so you don't think it's some waste of time you could be using to watch Autocracy. Oh, or another net show that's pretty good, Teeter Tower. Teeter Tower is this procedurally generated cartoon where two teams of soldiers are vying for control of a tower. But the dope thing is that their AI is slowly evolving. So this week they grasped their own mortality, spent most of the episode frowning and shooting their guns into the sky. It's possible that next week they might realize they only exist inside a cartoon. Anyway, the reason I want this piece of Aztec art is because it would look so fly on my IKEA shelf, right beside my 3D print of Vincent van Gogh's missing ear. It would look correct there. I swear I've owned it in a past life or something. And also, Rocio really digs Mesoamerican artifacts. If someday, for some reason, she's ever in my flat again, she might see it and be like, "Oh, wow, I so underestimated your sophistication and shit." And I'll be like, "Yes, Rocio, you did." And then I'll lean over and lay one on my new girlfriend, who will probably be a Norwegian supermodel. So, with this in mind, I up the bid again. Me and Pero Andalou 42 are now the only ones in the running. I'm ready to drop 323 bones for this bone, which I'm just now realizing sounds morbid, buying something that used to be inside a kid's leg. But don't fuck a dickfish over it. Pretty sure it's just a replica, and the real thing is in some underwater museum in Venice. Only 5 minutes left on the bid. It's going to come down to thumb speed, by which I mean connection speed. I checked the anonymous seller's location, something I should have done before, and it turns out it's being sold in a burb not too far from Edmonton City Center, 5 hours drive, which means I basically have this flute in the bag. Good luck getting a photo finish bid from La Puebla, Spain, douche face. Hey, that's perfect, I should say that. So I do, I tap into the chat and send it, just like that. Good luck getting a photo finish bid from La Puebla, Spain, douche face. He says nothing back for once, which means I win. I get my final bid ready, then flip over to Autocracy, just for a second. I want to see how things are developing with dental privacy, and what the heartwarming lesson is going to be in. Holy shit. Holy fucking shit. Wendy was making out with the artifact's holographic projection of her ex-boyfriend who died in the flood. And Mohammed just accidentally walked in on it. And now he has just one solitary tear running down his cheek. My phone buzzes, and I yank myself back to the bidding war. Because that's important, right? More important than Autocracy. And for a second, my eyes do not comprehend what they're seeing, because they're seeing that Peruandalu 42 won the item at $351. No. No, no, no. No! Peruandalu 42 says, "Buen partido, amigo," with a super saturnine smiley face, and I don't have to know Spanish to know he's clowning me. I put it through Espanol to English anyway, and just like I thought, the asshat is saying, "Good game, amigo." Oh, but we are not amigos, and this is not a game. Remember when I said I was sleeping corporate, dreaming about Nesco Co. products? And that I signed up thinking it would help me with the whole issue of dreaming about Rocio? It only sorta worked. Yes, sometimes I'm rolling solo through a jungle of impeccable product placement, but more often than not, I'm pulling down that chocolate river with Rocio beside me, looking at me with chocolatey eyes, and explaining to me that she's only holding my hand because she doesn't want to fall in, and it's nothing personal. Nesco Co. is at a total loss as to how she keeps showing up, which is kind of a good thing, because they extended my contract just to figure it out. So, maybe I don't actually want an Aztec flute sitting on my IKEA shelf. Maybe I want to send it to Rocio, along with this memory mixtape I made, and this message I typed about a billion times, which will convince her that I am so, so far away from the person I was 4 weeks ago when she dumped me. For some reason, I know she'll just love that flute. Love it. But now, in a matter of hours, that flute will be winging its way across the pond via FedEx. Not long after that, some little mail drone will fly it right to Peruandalu 42's door. He probably lives in a small whitewashed house with red tile and has a smug fucking face and a musty old art collection he doesn't let anyone see except for him. And he probably eats enchiladas. I may be overstepped with the enchilada thing. It's possible I'm conflating Mexican and Spanish culture, which I certainly do not wish to do, but I am really, really chapped about this bidding war going south on me. Without the Aztec flute, paragraphs 11 to 14 in my Take Me Back letter don't make sense, and the memory mix of us at the Met checking out the Central American history display, well, it's gonna lose a lot of punch. So now, I have only one recourse. Cheat. The seller's 5 hours away, and if I make it there before they ship the flute, I know I can make it clear to them that I'm way worthier to own it than some enchilada-chomping asshat from Andalusia. I'll even pay them an extra hundy or two if necessary. I run a travel scan to find someone heading north towards Edmonton City Center, and lo and behold, Codeine Dreams, who owns a lime green Audi and a passenger approval rating of 89%, is driving my way. I ping them for a lift, hoping to God my 72% driver approval rating will swing. I had this one rough week right after Oseo dumped me. Codeine Dream says, "Brew, you have a puker badge, Brew." I say, "It's 1 p.m. I don't drink before 3. The ride request goes through, albeit with an additional $25 vomit insurance. I clench my fist, the one that doesn't have a phone in it, like, yes, this is happening. Then I pop the chat back open to touch base with my enemy, saying, "The game's not over yet, asshat." which I know goes all contrary to what I said before about how it's not a game, but sometimes context is everything. Meanwhile, on Autocracy, turns out Mohammed didn't lie about his age. He was just unaware that he's actually a clone of the original Mohammed. Also, Wendy was only making out with her holographic ex to gain closure, cause, due to some bad indigestion, she failed to make out with her actual ex the night before the fateful flood. So, everything's gonna be okay. The Autofac is even printing some plastic roses and scented candles for them. With a big helium balloon of hope in my chest, I get myself up, off the bench, toss my milk carton, and migrate to the bench on the corner of 112th, which is where Codeine Dreams wants to snag me from. The air is all smoky and the sun's all red and smeary, like someone rubbed their thumb on it. Maybe because of the forest fires in British Columbia. There's a big Remax balloon drifting through the smog, possibly reporting on them. A lime green Audi slides up to the curb, and Codeine Dreams turns out to be a 40-something woman with a 10-year-old daughter in tow. The mom has dark curly hair, and the daughter has straight blonde hair, but they're both named Andrea. I think it's kind of bunk that Andrea too gets the front seat, what with her legs being like a third the size of mine. But pukers can't be choosers. "So what are you heading to Edmonton for?" Andrea 1 asks, as I'm shifting plush turtles to make room for my feet. The truth is complicated, so I tell her I'm visiting a friend whose aunt has testicular cancer, rare among women, but entirely possible. I'm going into the finer details of the surgery when I suddenly spot an empty bottle of Nescoco caramel chocolate milk, which makes me lose my train of thought entirely. "I'm pursuing true love," I say. "Sorry, the cancer thing was made up." "Oh, good for you, Brew," Andrea once says. "I did that once, back in 13. He turned out to be an asshole, but his genes were a straight-up angel factory." She leans over and rubs noses with Andrea too, who's ripping some digital billiards on her phone. My own phone jangles again, and it's Pero Andalou 42, saying, "Lo siento, pobrecito, la flota es mía." Which turns out to roughly mean, "Sorry, small, poor person, the flute is mine." I don't reply. I don't want to tip my hand. Instead, I just purse my lips, really serious, and sit tight, wondering if the seller's the kind of person who waits until the last minute of the 12-hour shipping guarantee, or if they ship right away, which would mean my flute is already out of reach. Eventually, though, I get distracted talking about Teeter Tower, because it turns out Andrea, too, is a huge fan, although she also has some weird theories about, like, existentialism as it applies to crude AI. Things get heated, and Andrea 1 tells us to both shut up or she'll turn the car around, and only in a half-joking way. When we stop for gas, I buy everyone chocolate milks, sort of to make peace, mostly because I can no longer resist the siren call of that empty bottle rattling around the back seat with me. The last time I did this drive, this 5-hour from Grand Prairie to Edmonton, it was with Rocio. We were going to this big protest to get the sea lions out of West Ed Water Park once and for all, cause, you know, there's no excuse for keeping majestic-ass animals in artificial lagoons. Not when we have the majestic-ass technology to make artificial sea lions that not only juggle red plastic balls on their noses, but also do ultra-complex pre-programmed dance routines to all the latest hits. Afterwards, she wanted to go to the Sugar Bowl to eat vegan chicken and waffles and drink 13 different kinds of eco-brewed ale. I think I have a bit of that on the mixtape, like her leaning across the table, putting her hand on my hand and laughing with a little string of unchicken between her teeth. I cut it before we started arguing about the true definition of truffles. When we finally pull into the burb, a little place called Lendrum, I GPS the right house and then bump Andrea's 1 through 2 goodbye. I tell Andrea too that she's wrong about Sartre, but in a friendly way, then close the door behind me and wave them off. This is it. I vault up the driveway and go to the door to the basement suite, which is demarcated by some stylish green hologram. I knock 3 times, boom, boom, boom. I'm so full of purpose at this point, I'm almost leaking. If I can get this pentatonic flute crafted from a child's femur, I can get Rocio back. Rocio opens the door. "What the fuck?" she says, and my tongue is frozen. I want to say what the fuck back, but she's already taken it and done it so well, so I can't. So I have nothing to say. Lucille's wearing that kind of knit she always used to wear on chilly days, and her blue eyes are behind the same old black frames. I don't know if I've said this before, but she's fucking gorgeous. And seeing her in the flesh, instead of old photo logs, makes my heart skip hard. "What are you doing here, Wyatt?" she says. "What the fuck?" I say, like an idiot. Then, "You really did move." "To an address I definitely did not give you," she says. "What is this?" I can't even explain. Not without my organs all burbling out my mouth and making a big mess on the welcome mat. So I show her my phone. Show her the bidding screen. "Oh, man," she says. "Oh, Wyatt." She touches my elbow like a robot. Like, exactly this much pressure for a non-sexy, "I pity you, so maybe we can still be friends online" nerve impulse. "You are not a healthy person right now." "I didn't know it was you selling it," I say, pulling each stupid word out of my stupid mouth with pliers made of stupid. "I swear." "Wyatt, I had that thing in my apartment all last year," she says. "It was on my IKEA shelf, kind of behind some books that always got cluttered up there, but you definitely saw it." "I swear this was not intentional," I say. "Since when do you like Mesoamerican art?" she says. "I had to drag you through the Met display." "But in the memory mixtape, it's not like that at all. We're having such a good time." "Maybe because I cut all the audio after this coat check." "I thought it would look fly in my flat," I say, and the lie hurts pretty bad. I know I should be telling her I'm sorry right now, and all that stuff about how different I am now, and how I wrote her a letter and mixed her some memes. But I can't say that anymore. That path of reality got shut down as soon as she opened the door, and now it's like it was never possible at all. Andrea, too, could probably explain it better. "You can buy it if you want," she says. "I can take one bad review from Andalusia. If that's what you need for closure or whatever, you can buy it." "It's not a closure thing," I say. "I'm closed. So closed. I just like the flute, that's all." So I do the transfer right there. $323 that feel like 323 catheters getting yanked out of the urethra of my heart. I start thinking about recouping cost. I could go buy some dozer, rent an IV, and sleep for a week. A whole blissful week of nothing but Nescoco. And maybe since I have the flute now, there'll be no Rocio. I'd wake up with a fat stack and 7 days more distance between me and the me who's just a stubborn string of unchicken in the teeth of a girl who's already gone. "Bye," she says, sticking the flute into my hands. I want to say later, like there'll be a later. Or, "See you around," like I'll see her around. But I'm not bullshitting myself anymore, so I say bye too, and then stumble off down the block. Since I'm on such a roll for wasting money, I decide to put a face call through to Spain. Peruandalu 42 actually picks up. The picture slides onto my phone, showing a tan lady with her dark hair up in a ponytail, picking gunk out of her eyes. The bottom left corner reminds me it's 2 a.m. in Spain. "I got the flute," I say, holding it up to my phone for her to see, in case the Espanol to English voice translator's not so hot. Her expression goes from puzzled to livid. "You piece of shit," she says, in English, with an accent that's really pretty sexy. "I'll sell it to you," I say quickly, "at a discount. Like 300, okay?" "Why do you want it so much?" she asks, frowning at me. "Deed, why did you want it so much?" "I'm not a healthy person right now," I say, setting up the transfer in a side tab. "Do you want a cam date sometime?" She kind of smirks. "Maybe," she says. "Probably no, but maybe." "Okay," I say. "Enjoy the flute. Good luck with the chupacabra." She drops the money into my bank and zips the face call shut. I find the nearest FedEx tube, label the flute, and drop it in. The pneumatics whisk it off like it was never even a thing, and then I start searching Travel Scan for a ride. Maybe back to Grand Prairie, or maybe somewhere else. I'm thinking how the ending would have been different on Autocracy, like, more heartwarming. But for now, this is good enough.
Thanks for listening to Asimov's Spotlight, a feature of Asimov's Science Fiction Magazine. If you liked what you've heard, consider subscribing to Asimov's. We're available in print and digital. And please stop by again next month to hear another exciting story chosen from our pages.